What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, we're back. Ben the Breaker of Banksters, December 8th, 2020, episode 120. I'm here with my co-host, good friend, Future Dan. How you doing there, sir?
Good, Ben. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm a little frustrated with a lot of things, but man, 2020 has been a frustrating year, so just keep on grinding as best as we can to the end of the year.
Yeah. This is going to be a year to remember.
Yeah.
Are we going to do a special for that?
A special end of the year? Absolutely.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Recapping.
Let's check the calendar real quick. The 29th.
2 weeks from today.
3 weeks from today, actually, I think. 29th of December. So today's December 8th. So 15th, 22nd, and 29th. And in fact, I think we're planning to be live every single Tuesday through December. So no real Christmas break for us. And we're going to be hitting the end of the season as well.
I think we said something different last episode.
I know we said 22nd was the end of the season, but I kind of think 29th we should have a end of the year special. Unless you want to take that week off and have a start 2021 on the right schedule. We don't have to make that decision now, but...
Well, it's a good decision to have to make. We can go more or we can take it off, but definitely before Christmas, I would say we need to recap the year.
Absolutely. And I mean, really, a lot of it depends on what happens in the next few weeks, because today, really, we don't have a ton of news. Now, that's all relative. There's still a ton to talk about. And on the election fraud, we've seen a lot more developments, which we'll get into, especially during the news blitz. A lot more red-handed evidence and some developments and some non-developments over the last week that we'll get into as well. But otherwise, and in particular in the national security and kind of geopolitical sphere, not much has been sourced. And even in the economics, we're still seeing, you know, stock market pretty much all-time highs. I think the stock market's going to recover. New IPOs, DoorDash is going to be debuting a new stock at all-time high valuations coming up before end of the year, as well as a couple other initial public offerings. So things are still going swanky there for now. It seems like as we're heading to the end of the year, I don't know how much longer this is going to last, but obviously if things get a little more crazy, we'll be here a lot more towards the end of the year. But maybe 2020 will be off with a whimper instead of a bang. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to gauge the news and the cycles and what years are similar to others. It usually does get relatively quiet in this zone, which raises the question, is that just that many journalists who are not even taking care of the basics? And I'm not necessarily talking about the mainstream media. You know, everybody kind of slows down during the holiday seasons. And, you know, we'll probably get a flurry of uncovered, you know, corruption within government, civil liberties being demolished, you know, expansion of the surveillance state. It'll come again. It's pretty much inevitable. But it slows. You don't get as much of it that gets into articles that you can link to.
Yeah, and I think it's more of... the news doesn't come out, or the news cycles and the people, as you said, even the news outlets themselves maybe aren't hitting it as hard as before. That doesn't mean these things aren't happening. That doesn't mean, as you said, the civil liberties aren't being trampled upon every single hour, whether you're awake or not. And, you know, you need to also, by the way, prepare for what could happen. That's what we're here to help on PBN, on the Prepper Broadcast Network, is look at that full information sphere. So, look, just because the news outlets might take this time of the year off doesn't mean you should be. And hey, I'll tell you what, I'm a little frustrated today, I'm a little tired, but I'm actually got kind of reinvigorated now that we're on air and need to finish this year strong, both from this radio show as well as getting prepped and as well as just even, you know, trying to have a festive kind of holiday time and having some good time with my family and stuff instead of being pissed off and always worried and trying to fight, you know, fight the good fight, blah, blah, blah. You know, I actually kind of want to even try harder at having a festive holiday season. So, I'm, you know, keep at it, guys. It's been a tough year.
Yeah, you're buoyant, though.
I am. I just, you know, good. Once you get tired, sometimes you get so tired you're not tired anymore. So, you just kind of keep fighting through that over and over. And, you know, maybe not the most healthy thing, but I kind of bottle some of my anger and fuel, and whether it's the election fraud or whether it's the banksters robbing us or whether it's the propaganda and the forced vaccines coming down the pike. Really, the vaccines is what's been pissing me off a lot lately. Yeah. Actually, that's one that's been firing me up. That's really starting to get me mad.
How are they going to make you take it? I don't get that.
I don't know either, but there's so many weak-minded people in this country that are falling for it already. It makes me sick.
No, they're free to take it, right? People are free to have the perspective that, you know, this is a naturally occurring disease and science has produced an immediate vaccination for a respiratory disease. And I want to try it. I want to take it. I'm not sure that's a wise choice, and there's a lot that goes with it. But how are they going to make anybody take it? I'm not saying they can't.
Right.
And Joe Biden's, you know, new slogan yesterday or today is 100 million shots within the first 100 days of his administration. So a third of the country gets shots. That might be upper bounds on voluntary shots, but how are they going to make anybody else take it? I mean, this sort of, there is a aspect of this is a little bit of paranoia, similar to, you know, in May and June talking about how Trump was going to cancel the election. I kind of said at the time, that can't be. It's not going to happen. It's unstoppable, right? Vaccinations are unstoppable. People will get them. I don't know how effective they'll be or whether they're healthy, but a lot of people demand them. But how are they going to make you take them if you don't want them?
I think it's pretty simple. Unless you go through massive hoops, they're already doing that. You won't be able to go to public school without them. You won't be able to go into government buildings without them. You won't be able to fly without them. And so if you, quote unquote, voluntarily remove yourself from all that, then you don't have to take it and you'll be fine. But essentially, you got to be Amish to do that. May not happen in the 1 year, then the next year, by any means. But this is certainly laying the framework for that.
We got to stop this. And I'm trying to think about how they going to make you show proof of vaccination to fly. Like, how? How are they going to do it to go to school?
How are they already doing it? There are ways to get out of it. You're right, actually. But, like, it's so, like, first off, so many people don't do it, which you could say it's on them,
Of course it is on them. Pay for private school if you don't want to participate. Take a car if you don't want to
fly. Right, but a lot of people can't afford that, but I agree a lot of people are lazy too. And, you know, just aren't informed, and it's their fault for not being informed. But a lot of people can't afford private school or, like, you know.
What do you have to go to a government building for? And plus, if you're going to court, something tells me they'll bring you there whether you're vaccinated or not.
Right. Well, I mean, this is just one example. I don't think it's going to get that draconian all the way, but I think a lot of people will be roped in that'll be. A lot of people will think that they are volunteering for it, but really they're being coerced into it.
Oh, definitely being coerced.
Yeah. So it's more of like coercion than like total being forced, but that's a lot. That's still a big lot of damage.
I'm never taking an experimental vaccine ever.
Hell no, so
I don't understand. Now, I've saw recent articles about, you know, maybe big enough corporations will have the, you know, nerve to try to fire workforces that refuse. But something tells me there's enough people who aren't inclined to take experimental vaccines who they these corporations kind of have to need to have. So there might be some on its way out the door fast food chain or some retailer that's a zombie company anyways. Its net cash flow is negative anyways, and it just happens to exist because of the Fed. Might try this sort of thing, but they're only there artificially, right, or temporarily. I don't think you're going to get a workforce that just says, yeah, I guess I have to, you know, be a wage slave for you just and get a vaccine for it.
I don't know. Well, so I agree in practical sense in the next year or two or something
and
like that.
Leftist-owned companies, small and mid-sized companies that have owners of this political persuasion where, you know, you're just going to kind of force policies onto employees to be there. Those are market distortions as well, right? Then now they're only operating with people, you know, with talent from people who will go along with that. I think you'll hear about, you know, some tech startup in San Francisco that makes all of its employees.
But you're not being draconian enough. You're being too kind of, more realistic for the next couple of years. But what about when the economy collapses, unemployment's 40%, and with the next version of COVID, COVID-24 comes about and it's killing way more people? Then it'll all be a whole different story, and all this framework will already be in place. That's more what I'm concerned about.
I think, you know, forced vaccinations are one of those indicators that are on future danger, but we're ever to become actual like population forced to vaccinate, we'd already be at war civilly, right?
Well, we might be at the same time, definitely. So
so I'm not too afraid of 2021 being the year you have to get the shot. The fun part will be how they try to ostracize you if you haven't.
Right.
The coercion will be massive.
Coercion, yeah.
But, you know, for relatively weak-minded people, they get coerced into all kinds of stuff they shouldn't be.
True.
Anyhow.
I know. I feel bad for the sheep. But, you know, everyone's got a little sheep in them. Like, subconsciously, you get coerced or, you know, it takes a lot of mental willpower and wisdom. And even then, people make mistakes to, you know. You can have discipline and wisdom and still make mistakes and be subconsciously coerced into stuff. So,
yeah.
I take pity on them to some degree, but it is the masses, right? They've always been kind of used as a tool.
The question and the fear I have is, what are going to be the side effects of the vaccination?
Yeah.
And could we see like a lowering of, you know, many aspects of human health, intelligence, being able to reproduce successfully? What are those vaccines carrying with them?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely, and we won't even go too much down that rabbit hole because we're running a little bit.
What people are thinking
low on time, but it is that what happens 1 year, 5 year, 20 year down the road after your vaccine, or you know, there's all types of concerns that I have, and as you said, this is extremely experimental. I don't even buy what I've been telling people, and it's kind of a joke, but it's totally true. I do not even buy the first edition of a gaming console like PlayStation 5, right? I don't even buy the first version because they have so many defects, right? The Xbox Ring of Death, if you remember that. All right. We're going to be back, guys. Patriot Power Hour, go to the News Blitz.
Ring of Death.
Red Ring of Death. Stick with us.
Prepper Broadcasting Network.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
Man, I see in Fight Club the strongest and smartest men who've ever lived. I see all this potential, and I see it squandered. God damn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, slaves with white collars. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. We're the middle children of history, man. No purpose or place. We have no great war, no great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars, but we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very pissed off.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Episode 120 of Patriot Power Hour. It's 8:18 p.m. on December 8th, 2020. 6 days to the Electoral College. Dominion whistleblower testifies on complete fraud at the Detroit Voting Center. A video emerges of Georgia poll workers pulling suitcases of ballots out from underneath tables, hidden before election observers were ejected from the room. Witnesses alleges Nevada voting machine USB drives had totals altered overnight, and DeKalb County, Georgia cannot find a chain of custody, the records for absentee ballots. So, in sum, Michigan, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, several states have highly questionable elections. As of tonight, Ben, no Supreme Court cases are before them. And the news censorship continues unabated. Twitter labels video evidence of that Georgia voter fraud as disputed. In broad daylight, fraud on video. And a major media purveyor, Twitter, can't recognize it. This all happening while the Vermont governor asked schools to interrogate their children about what they did over Thanksgiving weekend so that they can inform on large family gatherings. It's being taught through the schools on the order of the governor in Vermont. Ben, all quiet on the economic front except for one very large piece of news. Since the crisis in March, for every dollar that existed, 40 cents has been willed into existence by our government. That is money stock shooting up 0.06% over 7 days, but up 40% since March. And column four, news coming out of China having done human testing to create biologically enhanced super soldiers. We'll get into that too. Is next to nothing for critical news, but the noise in the background is massive on all fronts. But at its core, we have an election with strong evidence of being stolen in certain states. We have blatant news censorship. We have massive inflation of the dollar stock. And we have reprogenetics, the manipulation of the human genome for advantage, happening at the nation state level. That's what the end of 2020 sounds like. What do you think?
I see a lot of manipulation. I see manipulation of the political and government systems, manipulation of the media and information communication systems, manipulation of the financial system, manipulation of the biological system.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot, every system being manipulated. I guess shouldn't be surprised. That's what humans do, manipulate our environment. But I don't think they're doing it for better overall, in my opinion.
Grotesquely manipulated.
Yes.
Let me get that straight again. We're looking at the heat map. The electoral manipulation, information manipulation, financial manipulation. So two of those from column one, one from column three. And then in the far right, manipulation biologically. Yeah. Yeah, that's where we're at, is the urge to intervene the urge to not let elections just happen naturally, like count votes legitimately, or let information flow freely, or not have fiat money systems that will wealth into existence at the behest of bureaucrats, and to not go slice and dice the human DNA seeking an advantage. All of these things have second and third and fourth order effects.
Oh yeah.
So that's a fascinating the way you pulled that together with everything's manipulated.
Just came to me. I don't know. It's just, again, I'm kind of in this mood where I'm kind of just pissed, and everything I see is just someone trying to get over on me or get over on something else. I'm usually not this pessimistic, but a little frazzled and just annoyed by it. And I just, it's like everything, it's just the mad scientists are loose, whether they're financial engineers from Harvard or, liberal electeers or the Chinese mad scientists creating super soldiers with CRISPR, trying to get, super strength and vision.
There's nothing liberal about stealing an election. It's exactly not what that is.
It's the doublespeak, right? Or it's the exact opposite. But that's what they're doing. But
but they aren't they.
It's kind of like the Berkeley, Harvard.
It's the status quo.
Where each one has their own little niche, I guess, is also kind of a way to look at it. Like, you've got your own little area. Like, okay, do you want to be part of manipulating sociology and the children or the health system or technology? Like, choose your path of evil. There's many available.
Wow.
It's like an evil game. And I don't want to be, like, too dystopian, but it feels like that, for real.
Did you hear about Liberal Santa?
Yes. No Nerf guns for you. Daddy can bring it, but I can't.
Last I heard, that fool was fired.
I heard he'd get fired, too.
Is there more to it?
No, that's all I heard.
Will he get doxxed? Will he get named nationally, publicly, and all of that brings with it?
Well, if so, there's worse. People should probably be putting their effort into taking down worse people than him, but maybe, he's just like, he's more of a symptom than the cause. But he is trying to, he's a little bit of a virtue signaler.
So if you happen to not hear, there was a Santa Claus in a mall in Illinois who had a kid come up and, little boy, three, right? Little 3-4-year-old. Totally innocent to any of what was coming, and asked for, a Nerf gun. And the Santa Claus said, no, you can't have it. And then the mother, made sure that the Santa hadn't misheard and said, No, it's just a Nerf gun. And the liberal Santa knew immediately and continued to say, no, you're not having it. Get your father to buy it. I'm not giving it to you. Which caused the 3-year-old boy to cry. Right? And this became, nationwide news, which is what people are talking about rather than the hardcore dangerous stuff.
Right.
Because, like, we just did the heat map. Not a lot of the hardcore dangerous stuff is readily apparent right now. We don't have black indicators top to bottom, left to right, like we did in March.
You want to find someone to expose, it'd be, who was the director of communications for Bear Stearns the day before they collapsed and was telling everything was fine. Maybe that's someone you should go find at Docs. But I don't know about Liberal Santa.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying physically threatened or actually do any damage, of course, to anybody. I'm just saying, like, there's people that actually done some bad things out there that should get a little more attention. That's all.
Well, the urge to punish Liberal Santa reflects the urge to...
True. I understand the urge where it comes from.
To out, like, petty tyrants. Like, you're very focused on, like, the actual tyrants. The tyrants in the financial world, especially.
Yeah,
there's other tyrants, right?
That's true.
There's the Chinese communists that force us to have... military that costs the most in the world because if we didn't, they're the Chinese communists, right? They're armed, they're dangerous, they're communists. But in the financial world, the big tyrants you're focused on are, right, the banksters. We can name them, Bear Stearns and anything associated with that, and et cetera, so on and so forth. But it's the petty tyrants that people are tired of.
Yeah.
Santa Claus in the mall.
That's the one they interface with every day, and really they can see turn into the dark side.
It wants to bring politics to make others miserable.
Right.
And taking, who does that?
What state was that in again?
But Santa says that to a kid. It's Illinois.
Illinois, okay.
Yeah. So, Now, I'm kind of, you know, I don't focus as much on the elites, the evil intelligence out there. This year, I focused on the stupid evil, the mob.
Right.
What the mob was willing to descend to. You know, if you look at a quadrant, you got, like, good, intelligent people, which we strive to be. This show is dedicated to bringing out a perspective that, you know, helps you be prepared, is sober and says, this is what's dangerous to America. As patriots, we're going to talk about it. And then there's the intelligent, the smart, and the evil, the banksters, right? And the regime in Beijing.
Right.
And like, by that way, for that matter, the regime in Moscow.
Right. And I was going to say, like, the United Nations and their, you know, all their little schemes and stuff like that.
The evil, intelligentsia, the elite, right?
Yeah.
But there's also stupid evil and there's stupid good. And I would say I was in the stupid good category for a long, long time.
That's fair. Okay.
On the financial world to orient against the status, the market interveners, the
right.
people on the
taxers.
The taxers, the socialists, the communists, the left, right? And to say that, you know, corporations in our country, you know, for all the ills that might come with how they behave, they're still profit-seeking, free enterprise organisms. That bubble burst. I was stupid. Good instinct, right? I'd like to have a free market. I would like to not experience corporatism. I would not like not to have the billionaires that run these companies work every single manipulation you talked about a moment ago against me all the time.
Yeah.
Try to get over on me and push me and coerce me into buying and viewing and speaking and thinking in a certain way. But ultimately, at the end of the day, that, you know, intelligent evil side of the equation, a quarter of the dynamic, is nothing to me compared to the mob, the Soviet, the what produces the Cultural Revolution. Cultural
right.
Revolution would be when the mob got so stupid,
right,
and so it got so senseless in China in the early 70s that, you know, they were just purging the leaders of the last purge,
right,
at the local level, not national level, at the local level, in just an endless bloody revolution. Same thing in Soviet Union in the, you know, the late 19-teens when Lenin came to power, and throughout the 20s in Soviet Union, millions died because it flipped to that. So, you know, in a sense, Ben, what I'm trying to say is, you know, griping about the banksters, the intelligent evil forces, the elite, the secret elite, all that is one thing. But when the other half,
yeah,
the evil get going and start producing, oh, I don't know, policies like we see in states with quarantines today that are absurd and contradictory and make no sense, yet it becomes a mantra to walk around and enforce whatever conflicting medical advice is given onto others in your workspace, in your, you know, social spaces. I mean, for example, like, you enter a restaurant and wear a mask until you sit down in the same large room and take it off for an hour to eat. How did the travel from the front door to the table spare anybody risk of contracting airborne disease when you sat there and ate and spoke out loud without a mask for multiple times? And that is enforced in our culture. That's the stupid evil.
Yeah.
Enforcing stupid things stupidly in a perverse way. That's easy.
Stupid games, stupid prizes. Win some stupid prizes. I think the way I look at it, before we go to break, I think just maybe to bring it home is, I think you and I are looking kind of one in the same system. Yours is probably the most dangerous to each of us individually and all the listeners, right? The local mob or the local people near you, the local criminal, the local, you know, when things go bad, come up and lynch you, right? Or red mob, right? But that's kind of like the dominoes falling and all that, but what's the finger that knocks the domino over? That's kind of the banksters, right? They do the flicking, but it's the dominoes that'll actually smash you. Yes. We'll be back.
Looks more fitting for a woman.
Do you know much about guns, Mr. Bond?
No. I know a little about women.
Who are you?
My name is Pussy Galore.
I must be dreaming.
Paul! What could be easier?
Perhaps you'd call one for me.
Of course. Paul!
Seems terribly difficult. No, it isn't, is it?
No.
World domination. Same old dream. Our asylums are full of people who think they're Napoleon or God.
How do you know my friends call me Domino?
It's on the bracelet on your ankle.
So, what sharp little eyes you've got.
Wait till you get to my teeth.
They told me you were assassinated in Hong Kong.
Yes, this is my second life.
Too many free radicals, that's your problem.
Free radicals, sir?
Yeah, they're toxins that destroy the body and the brain. Caused by eating too much red meat and white bread and too many dry martinis.
Then I shall cut out the white bread, sir.
Do you lose as gracefully as you win?
I wouldn't know. I've never lost.
Sorry, Mr. Bond. Obviously caught you at a bad moment.
M sent you.
Only to plead for your return, sir. M says that without you in the service, he fears for the security of the civilized world.
Never again.
Never?
Never, never say never again. Never, never say never again.
Are you prepared to be the family doctor in a disaster or emergency? This is the Intrepid Commander, and I'm holding the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy, M.D. In this great book, you'll learn how to prepare for medical care off the grid. You'll learn about assessment and stabilization. You'll even deal with things like bioterrorism response, radiation, and how to build the off-grid medical kit at home. Look, 2020 taught us a lot about the limitations of our medical infrastructure in America. Get the Prepper's Medical Handbook today at Amazon.com. Again, that's the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy.
I am a real American, fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American, fight for what's right, fight for your life.
We're back. Episode 120, Patriot Power Hour. Ben the Breaker, Banksters. Follow me on Twitter at BanksterBreaker. Future Dan, where do they follow you?
Future Danger 6.
Future Danger 6. And of course, go to futuredanger.com. Listen to the whole archive, which is pretty cool. We just passed our 3-year anniversary. So pretty sick. And we're actually coming up on our 1-year anniversary on Prepper Broadcasting Network. So I'm going to do a special show for that, too. That'll be right around the inauguration, by the way, January 20th. So, in fact, I don't even know. It might be, like, right that exact day. We'll have to do the exact math. Okay, maybe not the exact day, but, oh, yep, pretty close. If we stay on Tuesdays going into January, you know.
We'll check the archive.
We'd be the day before, I think.
Pretty sure
right
the archive
there.
You just pitched would tell you.
Exactly. Answer. So we can go back. We'll look at that. But anyway, long story short. That day or just around there will be the 1 year. So pretty crazy everything that's happened since January of 2020. We've had COVID, this whole election stuff, everything.
We were talking about Red Death at the time.
Oh, yeah. We were. It's obviously.
Not sure it's been named yet, though.
We call it Wuhan virus a lot.
Yeah.
I remember specifically we named it that.
It hadn't been called COVID-19 yet.
Yeah, it was like novel coronavirus.
It hadn't been named yet.
Definitely not COVID-19 per se. Yep.
It was the Wuhan flu.
Yep. Oh, yeah, definitely. China virus. That's what it's called now. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. One of my good friends, actually, was born in Beijing, came to America when he was a few years old. And even he's like, yeah, I bet the PRC released it. That is a bioweapon. He's pretty sure. I mean, at first he believed it, actually, that it was came out like, you know, bat soup. Or a wet market type of stuff. Yeah. He actually believed it at first, but now he's like, no, I don't think so, man. And he's pretty hard to convince, so, and I didn't even really try to convince him. He kind of came to this conclusion himself that it was, you know, either purposefully released or accidentally released, but definitely man-made.
Yeah, the Wuhan Red Death could have been could still be a, you know, a financial biological warfare combo. definitely designed to manipulate our electoral system. Might have succeeded.
It's done more damage, simply put, than 9/11 did. It really has.
Oh, yeah.
9/11 did a ton of physical damage and really all types of damage and expenses and escalated wars and all that, trillions and trillions. But COVID's already done $10+ trillion of damage to the world economy, which is more than anything war on terrorism.
Well, there wasn't a hockey stick for debt before this. There is now.
Oh man,
the unpaid.
And there was before debt. That. That's why I've been doing this for like 5 years, like freaking out about the debt. Now it's 40 cents on the dollar more since March. And that's just the printing, let alone the debt, other types of debt. So
just be clear to our listeners: if you're not deeply ingrained in our financial ruminations week to week for the past 3 years, fiat money, what's it mean? And what does that 40 cents since March on every dollar mean?
You're pretty much borrowing from future generations.
Because fiat, it's not linked to anything that is naturally limited in supply, like gold. It is because the government says money exists.
It literally is the definition that it's spoken into existence.
Yes.
It's almost like literally magic, like abracadabra.
By fiat.
It's literally like a magic trick. And people believe it. I mean, even I do. I work and I take my money in U.S. Federal Reserve notes. So even I believe in the magic trick. And I'm in like the one percentile against the system. So that just shows you what kind of control they got over us.
I saw something, a gold product the other day that I hadn't seen before.
What's that?
Kazakhstan, a government.
Okay.
Has put mini gold bars into a sealed pouch that's integrated into a basically credit card sized device.
Okay.
So it's a means of payment. It's currency. But it actually stores, holds in locked vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
A small amount. A small thin, I don't know how thick the bar is, but it's not very thick because this is in cash-like denominations.
Right.
Like 20s and hundreds, maybe 500 U.S. dollar.
I've seen up to like gram. It's sure. Gram, like a card that's a gram, and that's equal to of gold, and that's equal to like, I don't know, $70 or $80.
But have you seen it in a tamper-proof casing?
Yeah. I don't know if it was. It was more like almost like a credit card, and it was embedded in there.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the same exact thing, but I know
well,
what you're talking about.
Governments are using it now.
But yeah, it wasn't government though. So this is interesting that the government is of Kazakhstan or Kyrgyzstan. Or one of them.
I'm pretty sure it's Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan, okay. Because there's a few. It's Kyrgyzstan. I don't know the difference much, but anyway, Kazakhstan.
Countries in the middle of Asia.
That's interesting. They got nothing to lose. They really would like to sit on some gold because they won't benefit from printing. They can't print 40 cents on the dollar since March.
Why?
Because they don't have the world reserve currency in the Federal Reserve Bank of New York.
No one would believe it.
Yeah, exactly. So
this is a con game. Confidence game.
And they're like, well, we're going to gold because at least we have a tiny amount of that. That at least like the top 5% of our population can use. Or
never forget the evil intelligence people who perpetuated the con game on behalf of our republic, our nation, our stupid good people who didn't
stupid
see
good,
that.
Yeah.
That was done. And you may not pay the price. You may outlive it. You may not. But the next generations are going to suffer a reset for it.
Yeah, it's not going to be a good reset. I don't know, unless you're like, I think we're going to really start feeling the pain in the next 10 years. So if you're going to die in the next 10 years or just live on an island, then maybe you won't feel it. But otherwise, I don't think anyone's going to outrun it. It maybe even less than 10 years. I mean, we are feeling negative effects from it now. It's just not as bad as it could be if this black hole of debt really does suck the entire economy into it. But as you said, it's kind of, they're looking for the great reset. I've been seeing that in all types of articles. There's been a few on Future Danger that mentioned that hitting zeitgeist, the big reset, the great reset, the debt jubilee.
So let's
that'll be bogus, but they I think they're pushing for that. That's the only way out. I've been saying it. There's not mathematically a way to pay it back, so they're going to have to do something like that.
So let's set aside whether the election was fraudulent, whether tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of votes turned that caused the election to be what should be void, right? Forget that for now. If Biden got the votes that he got, every one of those votes is in favor of, must know that the level of socialism, social welfare statism that is proposed by the modern Democrat Party is going to be unaffordable. And it's going to cause a reset. And great portion of the voters for Trump also are just fine with deficit spending government that wills into existence any amount of money just to get past the next crisis, right? The fiscal conservatism is gone right now.
That's
tight, at all levels, almost sure. All levels of the government. And I don't know how we correct from that. We got to start thinking about when corrections come and when pain starts coming along. And they call it austerity in Europe, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's when the government stops, funding everything in sight and intervening in every market in sight. They call it austerity, and people protest it. The left protests it in Europe just on that basis. Have they gotten to the point where the next generation, under 40-year-olds are so, blanket mindset that the government always takes care of everybody in every situation all the time, that when they come to find out that might not be true, where do we go? What happens then?
Oh, man.
Can there be a reset where there's pain?
Oh, there will have to be, because there's only so many resources, and to... If you're going to try to equalize it, first off, you're going to destroy a lot of those resources with corruption and inefficiencies. And number two, you're going to have to take it from other people, too, who will be pissed off. But I just feel like at this point, it's too late for the state to correct course, and there won't be any fiscal conservatism at all, except for at the individual level or maybe small co-op level. But what I'm saying is be your own bank, and that's where gold, silver, Bitcoin come into play, or preparedness and stocking away food. That's, you want to invest in a 401k, or you want to buy some land that you can turn into a little homestead, or buy 20 years storable food or MREs or some other equipment you need. I just feel like at this point people getting into the stock market or any sort of pension plan is definitely the casino, and you're going to pretty much lose money, I can guarantee. So shift your money into being independently fiscally conservative, because no one's going to do it for you, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's like pouring water on a griddle. The water starts bubbling and popping, and you get bubbles popping and popping, and they keep coming back. Where all of our manipulated wealth is in bubble cycles that, as soon as they inflate, they pop and they come back. But somehow we've spared the pain of the downturns. No one's suffered since March, have they?
A lot of people actually have, but...
No, I'm talking about investors, like wealthy.
No. Yeah, very few investors have. The only people that did would be the people that... maybe that bought at the peak in like February, sold in the panic in March, and are buying back right now. Those people, there's a lot of people that are actually falling into that, and they miss time perfectly. But long story short, the great majority of investors, especially investment firms and banks and stocks and stuff, are up big time because of trillions of dollars in stimulus. And remember, the way I look at it is this, and won't get too wonky with interest rates. Let's just say back in the day, the correct or equilibrium interest rate was 5%. Let's just say that, okay?
You've said it on previous shows, so.
Okay, and then after 2008, that got knocked all the way down to, let's say, 2%. And now, essentially, 0%. So we've knock that interest rate, what is acceptable and normal, from 5% to 0%, which is a massive amount of money. That's like using up our reserve fuel. That 5% down to 0% is trillions and trillions of dollars unlocked that we can use now. But that's all been used up. All of our reserves are used up now. And now we're hanging with our butt in the wind. and we've used up, and our interest rates are zero. We can't really go negative. It's really defies physics and financial, you know, mathematics. So, I mean, that's why we haven't really felt it that bad. But, I mean, in the future, we don't have that to fall back on. That's the problem.
They're wrecking capitalism from within.
Oh, yeah. They used up all the profits, that, you know, and capital. They used all the capital in capital. So there's no more capital. It's just ism. Totalitarianism will fill that vacuum of power.
How come if they inflated the amount of dollars circulating by 40% since March, that kind of increased the money supply, why isn't, you know, it showing up in the prices of goods?
It depends what goods it is. Like I've said before,
it is if you're buying stock.
Stocks are huge. Bond market's up big time. That's why interest rates are zero, because the bonds are at all-time high. They go in different directions. Even, like I've said, it sounds stupid, but it's totally true. Instead of a pair of Air Jordans going for $200, they're going for $350. You know, those luxury items. Now, we're kind of lucky that food prices have only got up, you know, 10% per year. Or, well, actually, someone could argue more than that. But that doesn't mean it won't be worse in the future.
That's
with all
not
the
official numbers.
That's not official numbers, no.
There's food hasn't grown by that cost.
I don't know. If you look at organic milk, a half gallon, I've seen that go up 50% in a few years.
Well,
so.
Organic milk's sort of luxury.
Exactly. Well, that's, you know, well, they'll give you slop for 25 cents. You can go to Taco Bell, still get 99 cents burritos, buddy. What's that made out of, though?
Quarterly consumer price index is up over 1%, 1.13% in the last quarter. So that's a big tick up. But inflation skyrocketing, we're not seeing it yet. Is that something in the new year that has to happen? And if it doesn't happen, given all these other manipulations and distortions, how are they making sure that, you know, at least the stuff, you know, take away the bread and circuses and you're going to get the riots?
Well, that's the kind of an interesting dynamic as well. And I could talk forever about the inflation aspects, but televisions have gone down big time. I bought my parents, who are locked away on COVID, although they do have compromised respiratory systems, so they probably should lock themselves away of any people. Long story short, bought them 4K televisions. I got a 50-inch and a 40-inch, two separate televisions for $500 total. Okay. 10 years ago, it would have been $1,200 for one 40-inch TV.
Are they Korean?
Yep.
So not slave labor. How do the Koreans?
Yeah, they're still made out of Chinese stuff, so it's still pretty much, yeah. But I agree, it's a little bit less, slightly less than your Walmart generic, all made in China brand. But Samsung. But if you buy pretty much any electronics, though, there's a lot of, you know, you're definitely supporting the People's Republic of China, which is, you know, whatever. But anyway, what I'm saying is, they'll put that into this consumer index. So they'll be like, look, your bread and circuses is going down in prices, even though healthy food is going up big time.
Because of communist TVs.
Well, it's good. It's become cheaper and cheaper, which is nice. I mean, that is nice to get really cool TVs and video games and stuff. That's fun.
It's totally not free market.
But, well, that's also, that's a great point. That stuff's being pushed on us for a reason as well, definitely. You can't tell me there's not people trying to make that more accessible to folks to kind of dumb them down a little more, for sure, in my opinion.
Yeah, so what's starting to cost more? We're going to keep an eye on that this year.
Yeah. Well, I know Bitcoin and gold are starting to cost more.
But in terms of what the Prepper Broadcasting Network focuses on?
Here's a good one for you.
That's when it'll start to matter.
A mobile prep, or a, what is it, a 2,000-watt inverter generator. I bought it in February, right when I saw this stuff was starting to go a little crazy. I forgot the exact prices, to be honest. But it went, let's just say, from $250 to $400 in like 4 months.
Yeah.
And things like, to be honest, I have a 3-cubic-foot freezer in my garage that I got on sale for like $99 a few years ago. Same freezer's like $229 right now, and I never find it for sale.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, you know, so I don't know. It's hard. It's really hard. Inflation and prices of things, there's so many things at play and all this other stuff. But a lot of this stuff is just out of reach or just really going up in value, even though it says inflation's 1.13%. That's a really loaded
it's
number.
It's just straight up scarcity. Like, you can't get it.
That's a great point. Exactly. That's a big part of it.
The prices don't adjust. Shouldn't they kind of just be a little bit less choppy? Like, as if our supply chain wasn't, you know, it was disrupted in March, April, and May. Like, all of a sudden, things couldn't be had.
Right.
And that was natural because international shipping plummeted. But it's supposedly coming back. And if the outcome of the election is what most think it will be, you know, the spigots will open to Chinese.
Yeah, they'll do their best to keep that open, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
That and the southern border, they'll do everything to keep those open.
Everything made in China might cost more next spring.
Well, that's kind of an ironic twist to it, is you just buy as much made in China shit as you can and store it up. Like, buy. Like, you can buy Bluetooth headsets for like $15. Just buy like 10 of them. That might be a good prep. Yeah, or even the wired ones. I'm just, you know, this is not
so
EMP preps, but this is, you know, you won't have to buy them for twice as expensive in 3 years when we're at war with China.
Every Asian economy that developed had state-owned enterprises or quasi-state-owned enterprises. The Karutsus in Japan were huge conglomerates that were, you know, tightly regulated by the government. And all of the flying geese through Taiwan, Hong Kong, eventually Korea, and then into mainland China, and then further to, you know, Vietnam. You know, the cost of labor per hour moved like from 7 cents an hour as each of those economies scaled up, right? Scaled up the value chain and got more sophisticated. You know, when I was a kid, you bought a lot of things from China and later Taiwan. Now, you know, most Americans that are younger than me can't imagine it's, oh, of course, it all comes from China. It certainly didn't used to be true. But the thing about those economies is they could dump product, right? They were centrally planned. Right. So the things that we worried about was that the Chinese Japanese automakers would, and electronics makers would just, you know, flood the market with stuff that doesn't.
And they did sometimes.
They did. And it doesn't really cost what they're selling it at, but their objective was to eliminate U.S. competition by driving us out of business everywhere they could.
Yep.
And then why would you do such a thing in a marketplace? Because now you have market dominance.
Yeah.
You didn't operate freely. You use tactics like that. It's mercantilism. You know, it's corporatism when it happens in your country. It's mercantilism when it's running between states, but it's not free market. And after that, you know, there's a price tag. We might see Joe Biden signing us up with trade deals that allow the United States to have pleasure of paying for what has been brought upon us this, you know, year 2020.
For sure. Well, now I feel absolutely guilty for everything I bought that's been made in China. And I have been trying to.
I avoid them.
I've been trying to, but you really, unless you are extremely diligent.
I'll pay more.
You will be buying things from it. A lot of parts are only found there, even in cars and everything.
That's reality. So you got to go with what is available.
Yeah.
But I'd pay double for almost any single good if, as long as I'm assured that it was made in the United States and has any expectation that it'll last longer.
Yeah.
Because I've seen Chinese goods for long enough to begin to suspect, and I don't know if there's a name for this, but there's some kind of engineering method that preordains the lifespan of the product. And if they didn't figure out how to make things break or go bad or fall apart or need to be purchased again faster, I'll be damned. And if you look at it from a centrally planned economic model that's been brought upon us, adversarial approach, if it all leads back to the halls in Beijing that, you know, want it this way, then what difference does it make if you're an exporter in China? What difference does it make to you to if your product's junk and doesn't get, your brand never gets bought again? When your countryman's product is the replacement that the next dumb American's going to buy again.
It's all state-owned enterprise anyway.
It all goes back to the same, funds the same, you know, regime.
So, folks, when you're prepping and when you're finding
buy American.
Some Christmas presents this year, try to buy American. That'll be our takeaway. If you take one thing away from today's show,
buy it from anywhere if it's well made. But certainly, no one's going to argue strenuously that Chinese products are well made. Most are expected not to be well made, right?
No, for sure. But hey, you know what? I won't lie though. I have bought $5 little headsets that work pretty well and throw them away after 2 or 3 months or you lose them anyway. So I don't know. I don't want to pay $80 for an American-made thing sometimes. So I believe in free trade. I would buy some cheap stuff if in a free market. But as you said, essentially they're dumping it on us. And we have companies like Walmart, Amazon, Target that are absolutely complicit in bringing this in. So even though you can save that money, save the Federal Reserve notes, try hard, guys. I know it's hard.
Corporations that bring us the surveillance state.
Yeah.
And pretty soon the vaccination state.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, my God. Amazon is starting an online pharmacy, so start to get your big pharma delivered right to you.
From shopping if you can't prove you got the shot. What would happen if Amazon did that?
I'd hope that they get backlash and lose a whole bunch of customers and learn that was a dumbass idea, and then we could see that free market still has a small vein of power in this country.
Well, how many more lockdowns before they don't have much competition to worry about?
Well, that's kind of what I'm worried about, because they're definitely one rotation around closer to choking off any competition. They pretty much killed everybody off already. Anyway. All right, well.
Getting to the bottom of things.
Yeah. Guess what, folks? That's the end of the show. That's the end of the night. We got to make way for the next generation.
Electoral college will have happened by the time we're on the air again. Unless that entirely collapses somehow, then maybe we'll be on Sunday night. Pretty good.
So I'll be next Tuesday, December 15th.
History 8 p.m. should be Eastern. Made by then.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what happens between now and then. Maybe a lot, maybe nothing at all, maybe something in between. Otherwise, folks, that was a fun show.
Massive loss in respect and belief in the electoral system on the American right could be happening this week. And that is not a stabilizing. That's destabilizing. Sure.
All right, guys. Next Generation Show coming up next. Patriot Power Hour signing off. See you next week.
To reach out to those who want to learn and practice independence and self-reliance. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.